Welcome to Happy, Healthy, Whole, and Rich, where faith meets action and transformation is non-negotiable. I'm Tina Brinkley Potts, and I believe now is the time to step boldly into your power, walk in divine wisdom, and claim the life you were meant to live. Each episode, I'll bring you real, unfiltered truth, because this world needs leaders who refuse to shrink. Let's get it. Welcome back to Happy, Healthy, Whole, and Rich. I'm Tina Brinkley Potts. Say it with me now. I know who I play for. Today's sacred rebuke is a tender one, because this isn't just about a book. It's about a beginning. The book that opened the door for me was You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. It was the first time I saw the connection between my thoughts, my body, my emotions, and my outcomes. It was the first time someone told me that healing wasn't something that came from outside of me. It was something I could allow from within. But as with so many beautiful teachings, over time, the message got twisted. What began as empowerment became guilt, and what began as grace became shame. And that's where our rebuke begins. There was a time when I believed if something was wrong with me, physically, emotionally, financially, it meant I caused it. I took every pain, every illness, every delay as evidence that I was doing life wrong. And I've coached many women who felt the same. They whispered things like, if I were really spiritual, I wouldn't be sick. If I were really aligned, my business would be thriving. If I had more faith, my marriage wouldn't have failed. That's not healing. That's self-condemnation wrapped in spirituality. Somewhere along the way, people turned Louise's message into a checklist for perfection instead of a call back to compassion. But before I ever saw that distortion, I saw the miracle. Let me take you back to the moment this all began. Over 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I thought my life was over. I was working about 80 hours a week, doing all the due diligence to take a company public in my spare time, while raising a family and taking care of my mom. I'll never forget when the nurse showed up at my house to teach me how to give myself an injection in my thigh every week to slow down the progression of the disease. Because I had these twitching sensations, I was prescribed medicine for seizure disorders. I remember going to work and that medicine kicked in, and I felt like I was looking down on people from the ceiling. I could hardly take a step. It felt like vertigo. Someone had to drive me home. That night, I fell up the steps in my house. I cried and cried and cried and said, there is no way I can accept this. I have too much responsibility. Who is going to take care of my kids? And the very next day, I came across You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. That day forward, I decided I was taking control. I went to Johns Hopkins for a second opinion. They told me I had an inoperable brain tumor in the pons area of my brain. I walked out of there and told them, y'all got the wrong person. Then I spent the next 6 months exploring the ideas in Hay's book. I stopped taking the Avonex injections. When I went back to Hopkins, they said they had changed their mind. They now believed the spot on my brain had been there since birth. And since it wasn't growing, it wasn't likely to do anything. That lady, Louise Hay, help me understand the power of my thoughts and my energy. She started something in me. Most people wait to give people their flowers, but I didn't wait. I sent her a letter all those years ago to say thank you. So when she passed away, I wrote, "Rest in peace to the woman who helped me heal my life." That was my awakening. Because years later, I also realized that when her work reached the masses, something got lost. Because what began as empowerment slowly became guilt. What began as grace became shame. Louise never said blame yourself. She said love yourself. She didn't say control the body. She said listen to it. But the world heard something different. And many of us turned a message of love into another test we had to pass. That's the collective distortion I'm rebuking today. The illusion that perfection is proof of worthiness. That pain means failure. That struggle means you're not spiritual enough. So we started performing positivity. Smiling through pain, affirming over wounds, bypassing our own humanity. That's not healing. That's hiding. Because healing was never meant to be performance art. It's private work. It's sacred work. It's messy, holy, human work. And sometimes healing looks like crying on your bathroom floor. Sometimes it looks like forgiving yourself for believing you had to earn your peace. Sometimes it looks like saying, "I know who I play for," even when you don't feel powerful. That's where real healing begins, not in the performance, but in the permission. Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." It doesn't say he blames the brokenhearted. It doesn't say he demands perfection before he touches the wound. It says he binds them. He covers. He comforts. He restores. That's divine tenderness in action. That's what Louise Hay taught me to do for myself. To become a willing participant in my own binding, to hold the parts of me that hurt, not with accusation, but with affection. And when I look at the life of Jesus, I see the same pattern over and over. He touched the leper before the leprosy left. He called Lazarus forth while people around him said, "It's too late." He fed thousands, not because they were righteous, but because they were hungry. And the woman with the issue of blood, I think about her often, because her story is every woman's story. She pressed through shame, through fatigue, through isolation, and she touched what she believed could make her whole. And Jesus didn't turn to her and say, "What did you do to cause this?" He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Her belief wasn't about denying pain. It was about reclaiming access to power. That's what I felt the day I read "You Can Heal Your Life." It wasn't me deciding to fight harder. It was me remembering that healing is my inheritance. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you." And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. That verse isn't metaphor. It's metaphysics. It's telling you that the same energy that resurrected a body can restore yours. That the divine intelligence that formed your cells hasn't gone missing. It's still humming underneath every breath, waiting for your agreement. But here's the sacred rebuke. So many of us say we believe in God's power, but we doubt God's presence within. We call God healer, but forget that the same Spirit dwells in us. We outsource our healing to doctors, to pastors, to pills, to programs. When heaven's whisper says, "Beloved, it's already within you." Louise gave language to that scripture without ever needing to quote it. She said the point of power is always in the present moment. And what is that but an echo of God saying, "Be still and know that I am God." So hear this clearly. Your body is not your enemy. Your symptoms are not your shame. They are sacred messengers pointing you back home. Healing doesn't happen because we fix the body. Healing happens because we remember the body was never separate from spirit. And that's the invitation hidden in every diagnosis, in every heartbreak, in every delay, to stop running from what hurts and let love bind the wound. Because even in the places you think you are too broken to recover, spirit says, "I still live here." Metaphysically, the body is a map of consciousness. It is the place where belief becomes biology. It records every unspoken word, every uncried tear, every moment you whispered, "I'm fine," when your soul was screaming, "I'm not." Louise Hay helped me see that sickness isn't punishment, it's communication. The body doesn't betray you. It speaks for you when you stop listening. It says, "You keep running from the truth, but I will slow you down until you hear it." Florence Scovel Shinn called it the law of non-resistance. What you fight, you feed. What you bless, you release. Neville Goddard taught that imagination creates reality, and that feeling is the secret. Abraham Hicks tells us that emotion is guidance accomplished from source. And Louise tied it all together. Every thought, every emotion, every vibration is either tightening or opening the flow of life through you. When I was sick, I realized the medicine that mattered most wasn't in a bottle. It was in my awareness. When I shift from fear to faith, from shame to love, my cells receive the new instruction. Because every cell is intelligent. Every cell listens to its environment. When you speak to your body with love, you are giving it divine orders to remember what it already knows. Wholeness is its natural state. Here's the sacred rebuke. Healing doesn't happen through force. It doesn't happen through fear of being unhealed. It happens through permission. When you return love to the place where fear took root, you change the vibration. You reconcile the separation. You remind your body who's really in charge. Not the mind frantic with control, but the consciousness anchored in source. Energy left unprocessed doesn't disappear, it waits. It waits in your muscles, in your breath, in your stories. And when you finally meet it with compassion, it releases its grip and becomes fuel for your expansion. So when Louise said, "You can heal your life," she wasn't giving you a slogan. She was giving you a spiritual formula. Awareness plus love equals liberation. That's the mathematics of miracles. The moment love returns, order returns. And the moment order returns, the body, mind, and spirit remember they were never separate. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes if you can. Let the sound of your own breath remind you that you're still here, that healing is still possible, that source is still within you. Now, open your journal. Don't rush. Don't edit. Just let the truth spill onto the page. Number one, where in my life have I confused responsibility with blame? Do I hold myself to impossible spiritual standards, expecting perfection when what I really need is patience? Number two, what is my body trying to tell me that I've been ignoring? If my body could speak freely today, what would it say? Would it ask me to rest, to release, to forgive, to believe again? Number three, where have I mistaken pain for punishment instead of seeing it as guidance? Can I soften enough to let discomfort teach me rather than shame me? Number four, when I think of healing, do I picture fixing or remembering? What if I am not broken, only disconnected from my original design of wholeness? Number five, how would my self-talk change if I treated my body like a temple instead of a test? What tone would love use if it spoke to me through my own voice? Number six, what would healing look like if I approached it with softness instead of striving? Could I give myself permission to heal in ease, not effort? Number seven, what proof am I still looking for before I allow myself to believe I'm already healing? Can I let faith be enough even before the evidence appears? Take one more deep breath. Place your hand over your heart and whisper, "I'm listening now," because that's where real healing begins, in the listening. Here's the sacred rebuke. Healing was never about blame. It was always about remembrance. You were never being punished. You were being invited to presence. You were never defective. You were divine, recalibrating to truth. You were never behind. You were becoming. Every cell in your body remembers its origin in love. Every breath is proof that source has not left you. Every moment of awareness is an invitation to return. You can heal your life. Not because you've mastered every principle or earned every breakthrough, but because the power that created you is still within you. You're not waiting for a miracle. You are made of one. When you remember that, healing stops being something you chase and starts being something you allow, because love is the ultimate technology. It knows how to rewrite every pattern, how to restore every cell, how to reorder what fear tried to fragment. Love does not need your perfection, only your permission. So today, let this be your prayer, your declaration, your alignment. I release the need to fix myself. I choose to remember myself. I open to the healing that is already happening. I trust the source that lives in me. Say it with me. I know who I play for, and I choose to heal through love, not through fear. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay whole, and stay rich. In love, in truth, and in the freedom of remembering who you are. If this message spoke to you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it, live it, and let's grow together. Head over to happyhealthywholerich.com for more powerful teachings and join the movement. Remember, your breakthrough is waiting, but you have to show up. Until the next time, stay happy, healthy, whole, and rich.